The life and times of Jackson Wong have always intrigued me over the years. He was a chef and an entrepreneur, and a man who built, from scratch, a thriving family-owned business that exists as a landmark till this very day on the magical islands of Hawaii. The only place in this world where I've ever felt a complete sense of belonging. The type of belonging you search for your entire life. Everything about this just fascinates me so much, and I find it quite interesting that I've only known Jackson Wong through his son Justin, one of my greatest friends. Through the stories he shared, through the countless times we sat down to have a meal, to grab a drink, and to talk about everything under the sun. But as it turns out, over the span of 20 some odd years, I've only been privy to bits and pieces of this family history, always wanting to know more, yet constantly hesitant to ask. Until this moment, that is, a moment that neither Justin nor I thought would be so emotional and bonding. How interesting that a podcast could evolve our friendship after all these years.
My dad, he grew up in China. At an early age, I think he was 16 or so, he made the decision to leave China on his own and find his father who lived in Hawaii. And that's how he ended up in Hawaii. So my dad's decision to do that really drove me to say, hey, you know, if he can do something like that and, you know, make it on his own, I can leave Kauai and, you know, figure it out on my own as well.
So they say that the child you are makes you the man you become. And I couldn't agree more, especially when it comes to Justin. He, in so many ways, represents his father's enduring legacy as the epitome of what a son can become once given the gifts of life and love. And though it may seem as if he's purposefully refused to walk the path so diligently paved by his father, if you dig just a bit deeper, you'll begin to realize that things aren't always as they seem. That perhaps Justin is indeed the embodiment of his father's dreams, even though the choices he's made have seemingly taken him further and further from who he was as a child.
It was a fun time for me. I was always outdoors. I was always hanging out with friends, going to friends' houses. You know, where I lived, it was a small community. It was on the west side of Kauai. Everyone knew everyone. So it was very much a tight community, almost like family. I think when I was in high school is when I really thought about leaving the island. You know, I think that's when my mind started to think about things outside of Kauai, outside of the west side of Kauai. There must be something better. There must be more out there for me. What's next? What adventure is around that corner? And I think that's when I really started to investigate that and go down that path of, okay, what's out there? What's on a different island even? You know, like, let's find out.
You know what I find so incredibly ironic about this whole conversation is the fact that I've always had this attachment to Hawaii and how it's made me feel as a person. I remember stepping off the plane for the very first time and having this almost spiritual awakening that I'd finally come home. And for a while now, I've been driving towards somehow moving there one day and surrendering myself to the calling. And yet we sit here talking about how you left and why you left.
I never felt like I fit in on Kauai. I mean, I always call Kauai my home, but it was just where I was in that point of time in my life, it wasn't the right fit. When I say fit too, I think that kind of coincides with growth. And I didn't see myself growing, you know, on Kauai and getting where I wanted to go. You know, I didn't see myself being able to learn. Not saying that Kauai, you can't be smart and live on Kauai, but where I was at that point in time is, you know, I felt that I needed to leave. I needed to make that choice. I needed to find what I was looking for. So I really needed to explore in order to, you know, fulfill that, you know, that curiosity. I started to realize that Kauai was not going to set me up for success. As I started to think about life after high school, you know, what would I be doing as a career? Where would I be going to school? That kind of led me down a different path of why I wanted to move on from Kauai.
So you and I both know that most of us have dreams for ourselves and thoughts of how life could be in some distant future, and that we'd be so happy if only we could get there one day. But I don't really see that in the way you think about life and about the universe. Matter of fact, you've always seemed content and grateful in the moment, which makes me super curious about how you allowed yourself to let go of something so seemingly good, simply for a chance at something better.
When I graduated high school on Kauai, at 17, I decided to leave. I actually moved to Oahu at 17. Went to college there, trying to figure things out, you know, living that college freshman lifestyle, you know, having fun, enjoying, living the good life. It was probably my second or third year of college. I was in an econ study group with two other friends from class. And I don't know how the conversation started, but it kind of went where we were talking about there has to be more. You know, we're the same thing that I was already thinking in high school. That conversation was centered around there has to be more than life on Oahu now. So we started talking, and a month later we packed up, left, and we ended up in San Jose.
Do you think you would have left without those guys?
Eventually I would have, but it probably would have taken a long, long time. And the decision would have been, I think, more difficult and a little bit more scarier for me. I probably wouldn't have had that support system that I did with my two other, you know, friends. It would have been me packing up and leaving, which would have probably taken, you know, 6 months to a year to do. But with the, you know, my two other friends, it was like ripping off that Band-Aid, right? There was no time to think. We packed up and we left, and that was it.
And so after having decades of time to think back and internalize the moment and ruminate on all those different feelings, how does that experience, the actual act of leaving, resonate with you today?
You know, the experience is traumatic, right? You're leaving what you know. You know, you're putting yourself into an uncomfortable situation. But the thought of growth, the thought of there's an adventure now, you know, on the other side. When I get off of the plane, there's that what's next, you know. There's a whole world out there that I've never seen or experienced. So what can I get from this? And that's really what drove us, I think, to continue with the trip, you know, and not back out, right? It was like, yeah, it's scary, but I think the opportunity outweighed that fear, you know, that trauma. I love to be uncomfortable, in a sense where I live in that sort of that chaos. It brings me energy, so I put myself in uncomfortable situations, and just so I can grow from that. You know, I love to figure out how to operate in an uncomfortable environment. So being on this podcast today is uncomfortable for me, but it's something that I need to do to grow. And I pull from experiences from my family, my parents. Both of them left China, you know. Both of them had that internal voice, like you said, you know, and they had that calling, so they went for it, you know. The worst that could happen, they could go back to China and live whatever life they were living back then, if they even had an opportunity to do anything back then, you know. But they knew life was probably better outside of China or outside of the village that they were from even. So, you know, they made that choice to leave, and they went for it.
Man, this has been such a great conversation already. But before we go any further, I just wanted to take a moment to say how much I respect you for having made this seemingly impossible decision. Like I said earlier, you know, it still boggles my mind to think about how hard it would be to leave what I consider paradise. I'm wondering how the people around you felt about this decision of yours, specifically your parents, who'd built such a beautiful life for you on Kauai.
So my parents were always very supportive of my decision to leave. They have that sense of adventure already in them, you know. My dad, he grew up in China at an early age. I think he was 16 or so. He made the decision to leave China on his own and find his father who lived in Hawaii. And that's how he ended up in Hawaii. So my dad's decision to do that really drove me to say, hey, you know, if he can do something like that and, you know, make it on his own, I can leave Kauai and, you know, figure it out on my own as well. We'd never had like an in-depth conversation as far as, you know, what my plans were, you know, or leaving Kauai at all even. You know, it was really, I let him know that I was leaving Kauai. I was going to go to Honolulu or Oahu. And, you know, he just basically asked me what I would be doing. And he'd support me no matter what and let me figure it out. And that was really like, you know, an eye opener for me. Like he never questioned it. I knew it was something like difficult for him, you know, leaving the family. But I also knew that he understood that I needed to figure it out on my own as well.
So knowing what you know today, and given the wisdom you've gained through these lived experiences, how do you see yourself reacting to the next big decision that comes up?
That process for me has changed over time. You know, as someone in my 20s, it was a lot easier, you know. It was just me. I didn't have a family. And I wanted to be the best that I could be for myself. Now, with a family, you know, with a wife, two kids, my decision process has changed, right? So back then, it was all about me and, you know, securing my career, figuring myself out. Now it's, I'm trying to set myself up, set my family up so they can, you know, be successful if I'm no longer around or if things happen. Will they be set up? So a lot of my decisions now is really looking at setting it up for the next generation. Or what, you know, setting myself up in case something happens in life. Will I be able to pivot? Or, you know, will I be able to dig myself out of something? So that's my decision process now. And it's something my dad always instilled in me was set yourself up. You know, be ready for whatever comes your way. And then, you know, be ready for... if you're no longer around, if you're responsible for someone, you know, make sure that they are set up to be successful themselves now. So that's my decision process, my decision-making process now is really focused on that. Just being able to make sure that everyone is taken care of. Although my dad's no longer around, a lot of his teachings are still things I draw on to this day. My mom too, she actually walked pretty much the same path that my dad did, you know, leaving China, coming to America, not knowing English, putting herself in English school. And those kind of experiences really drives me to become a better person. And while, yeah, there's successful people out there, I always go back to my parents and that experience that they went through, you know, that traumatic experience that they went through. You know, not only was leaving China a traumatic experience, they got out of there and they were able to thrive, you know, build a successful business, set their kids up for success, you know, and help us get a leg up in life. So, you know, for me, that is a lot more powerful than, you know, someone like Bill Gates or Elon Musk, you know. Yeah, they're smart in their own right. But what my parents did was just something that drives me, and it really inspires me to do better as a person.
Listen, I know we'd never say this to one another, not even with a drink in hand. But part of me believes that the universe has been waiting for this conversation all along, and that it's always been a matter of time, and that we've remained friends for a very specific reason. So I just want you to know, I only have a few great friendships in this world, and ours is certainly one of them. Anyways, man, you know how it goes when we wrap up a show, right? I'd love for you to take us home and to share some thoughts on making tomorrow a better version of today.
You hit the nail on the head with confidence. I think that's what you have to figure out as a person. You have to understand, like, you have to believe in yourself. So early on in my career, I never saw that. I never felt like what I was doing was, you know, making a difference. It's only when I, you know, had the opportunity to get onto different teams, to work with different companies, that you start seeing that. And then you understand, like, what you're doing makes a difference. When your coworkers or a leader comes to you asking you for advice, or how would you handle this, how would you handle that, things like that helps build that confidence. And, you know, I look at that as, oh, they came to me, you know. They could have asked anyone in the company, but they came to me. So I got to understand, like, okay, I must be doing something right. And that feeds into me, you know, developing my confidence, you know, knowing that what you're doing makes a difference, and you have to project that.
A few years ago, Justin was the co-owner of a t-shirt business called Gifted Minds, and I was the wannabe chef and barbecue connoisseur that I still am today. And as naive as I was, I brought this crazy idea of pig smack barbecue to life. And we ended up collaborating on a charity project on behalf of the global nonprofit Room to Read. It's an organization focused on improving literacy and gender equity in education, which matched up perfectly with the Gifted Minds ethos. We ended up raising $5,000 through that campaign, sending all of it to Southeast Asia, and funding the actual building of a library in a small village in Vietnam. It wasn't much of a donation per se, and for some it may seem like nothing but pocket change, but for us, it was our contribution to the world. And it meant so much more than the campaign itself. It was a heartfelt moment for me during a very difficult period in life. And I have Justin to thank for it. Hey fam, if you're new to this podcast, welcome home. We're hoping you'll continue listening by adding us to your playlist and that you'll share this experience. If you're leaning towards working through some of life's difficult decisions together, reach out on LinkedIn or good old-fashioned email at info@lockwin.com.